Hello, everyone. A very warm welcome to another exciting episode of Psychology Talks. And I'm your host, Amreen Nadeem, your guide through the realms of inspiration and positivity. Today, get ready for a journey that promises to warm your heart and uplift your spirits as we dive deep into transformative force of kindness in our episode, Unleash the Power of Kindness. We live in a world that can sometimes feel like a whirlwind of chaos, but in the midst of all, there is a superpower we all possess, and something so simple yet incredibly profound, and that is called kindness. Today, we are not just talking about those grand gestures, but also subtle everyday acts that have potential to create ripple effect of positive change. And that's why I have invited our guest, Barbara. She has recently published the book, and she is the global kindness advocate, mentor, leadership coach, business consultant, thought leader, public speaker. And she's also the founder of BV Empowerment and Kindness Institute. She's on the mission to equip individuals and organizations with the tools to lead with kindness and compassion. Her journey is a testament to resilience and purpose. Currently, Barbara serves as a business consultant leading BMW dealership as a quality lead and operational excellence lead. And beyond meeting a business objective, her influence is reflected in constantly achieved sales and quality target, coupled with remarkable rise in employee retention. She's also the number one top 50 global thought leader on mental health by Thinker360. Barbara has shared insights at prestigious institutions like Harvard University and the World Young Scientist Summit in Brussels. So let's welcome Barbara. Hello, Barbara. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hello. Yes, thank you so much, Amreen, for having me. It's a joy and a pleasure to be here with you tonight.
Yeah. First of all, thank you so much for joining, and congratulations on achieving number one best-selling book, The Path to the Power of Kindness. I mean, this is an amazing book, and I'm so honored to be part of your authorship journey and give the review and being part of your launch. And it was a very well-organized launch, and especially the book itself is so amazing. It talks about kindness, which world is really in need of that. So we're going to talk about it also. But I've given a very short introduction, but just enlighten our audience today that how you started the journey of your career and how you ended up here.
Well, that's quite the story, Amreen. That's quite the story, because people would ask me sometimes, why that passion for kindness? Where yeah. does it come from? And it started as a child. You know, mm-hmm. when I was a child, people, you know, like parents, grandparents, people would always say to me, teachers, Barbara, you're too kind. Barbara, you're too kind for this world. You will never be successful. And yeah. from childhood on, I could not understand. What does that mean, you're too kind? Did I have to become less kind to succeed? I was like, what planet did I arrive on? A planet where I have to be, you know, like unkind and rude to be successful? And it just didn't, you know, in my head, it didn't match. But then, as many of us, you know, like as a child, you have that innocence and you have that kind of candid view on life. But then you get like, you go through high school, you go to college, and you are more and more like imprinted with the beliefs of this world. So I did what most people do, you know, like study, married, started a business. But at the age of 32, I was diagnosed with a stage 4 cancer. We had three little children. The youngest was only a few months old. And I was told that I probably had no more than 6 months to live. So as you can imagine, that came as a huge shock. And those months in hospital, I got several surgeries and a year of chemotherapy. I would often ask myself, what if it's over right now? What if I die at 32 years old? Am I happy with my legacy? The answer was no. I wasn't happy. I had, until 32, lived up to the expectations of other people. I have lived a life that I thought that you had to live to be a good person. You know, you go to college, marriage, you start a business, you start a career. And I had kind of, you could say, not lost my soul, but lost a certain connection with who I truly was, because I was so much focused on, meeting other people's expectations. So I made a promise to myself. I told myself, if I survive, because there was I had less than 10% chance to survive. If I survive, I will every day work to leave a positive legacy. And that was a promise to myself. So after surviving, I started a journey of self-discovery, of, looking in a very different way to life. And it was like the circle. I came back to that passion of life is not about amassing material possessions. Life is not about, all the titles. And there's nothing wrong with striving for excellence. I think there's a huge difference. We can strive for excellence and we can live, the full potential that we have. But that doesn't need to be in climbing a ladder or wanting to be the boss and be more, it has to be like a more blossoming who you are, living to your full potential, but always with the compassion for yourself and for other people, the kindness for yourself and for others. Because when I was in hospital, it didn't matter whether I lived in a castle or in a hut. It didn't matter if I would have had 10 titles and 10 PhDs or none. The only thing that mattered was the connections with the people around my bed in hospital. So that's the important thing. Who are you for those around you? What do you bring into the room? What do you bring? And it starts at home, as a mom, as a wife, as a daughter. Who are you in daily life? And tying, for me, it's very important that I talk about powerful kindness, because a lot of people take kindness for a weakness. Well, if you're too kind, people walk over you, you're a doormat. No, you're not. You can set boundaries and be kind. If, for example, I'm, one of my biggest clients is BMW. If I would have a coworker starting to be rude or disrespectful, I can stay out of that negativity, of that energy, but speak up for myself and say, or we continue this conversation in a constructive and positive way, or we end the conversation here. But I can say that fully centered. I can say that in kindness, which makes me a lot more powerful because I stay calm. I don't get all upset. I don't start yelling. I don't start humiliating people. I can see that the behavior of that person is a mask of insecurity. It can be a mask of frustration, can be of hurt. That person can have old wounds and needs maybe, to manifest or to be overly bossy just to hide those wounds and insecurities. So that's what I learned in, the book is The Path of Powerful Kindness. And I really want to bring how powerful kindness looks like. And it's a mission for me, because powerful kindness can make us make different choices in life. When we choose powerful kindness, we will not gossip at the office. We will not look down. We will leave people in their integrity, and because it's the kindness is a reflection of who we are. It's its own reward. So that's, you know, like in a nutshell, how I came from as a child feeling that natural kindness to coming to, as a mature woman, you could say, to a powerful kindness. I don't hear you, Amrin. I don't hear you.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, so what an inspiring journey you had. I mean, from a child to be where you are today, like, you know, and being an ambassador of kindness, because as you mentioned, like when we practice kindness, mm-hmm. people take us, like, you know, that maybe we are weak or naive, or, you know, they try to, they think that, you know, we are not intelligent.
Yes, so, I know.
It's not like, yeah, because they think that, like, you know, they don't understand, and that's why they behave like this. But the inner motive is always, when, as you mentioned, that it's all about ourselves. We behave, we choose to behave in a way that reflects our personality, our character. Not, it's not about them. If someone is, let's say, yelling, or someone is using some mean words, it reflects their personality. Even if they're trying to be bossy, it reflects their personality. But it's, at the end, it's our choice that how do we react to them, and in what manner we react to them. That is very important. So,
I think so, it's important that we always reflect on the fact that we will not have the anger of someone else poison us. You know, that we stay in our integrity, that we stay, you could say, in our light, in who we are, and with a deep respect for the human behind the anger. You know, like you can differentiate the anger from the human behind, but not have that embitter us, poison us. Because, you know, like you, me, we have always been betrayed by people. We have been disappointed in people. Yeah. We have all lived that. It's not like I live in a woo-woo land where everything is, you know, like roses and moonshine. I don't. I have days I wake up, you know, like, and there's a lot of stressful things coming, but I try to start the day in a calm, composed, and intentional way. And that can help a lot.
Absolutely. I mean, I love that quote from the Karyun, that people judge because they don't like to think, right? So basically, it's all about, you know, people, when they, as you mentioned, that, you know, they put their frustration onto others, and that's what exactly that make them more bitter instead of being a better person in their life. So I would ask you that how one can actually protect that calm state in the midst of chaos.
In the midst of hectic lives, we're all living in a hectic, noisy world. We are all connected all of the time. So there's a few things which I have practiced in the past, you could say, 10 years, which has helped me a lot. First, when I get up, I start to do like a kind of gratitude prayer. I think it's important to every morning remind ourselves how blessed we are. We are blessed to be alive. We are blessed to have a roof over our head. We are blessed that we slept in a bed, you know, like small things. We are blessed that we have a loving husband. We are blessed to have children, the things that we take for granted. Just, you know, like 2-3 minutes gratitude. And then I set very powerful intention for the day. I always start my day saying, whatever comes my way today, I will deal with it with grace, ease, and kindness. Does it work all the time? No, it doesn't. But it helps.
Yeah.
Because we're human. And it's really teaching ourselves to go away from impulsive reactions and go to a state where maybe we are triggered, but go outside the trigger, you know, like center ourselves and then choose a response.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's very powerful because then you are no longer at the mercy of your impulses. You know, like, my mom or my mother-in-law would criticize me. Oh, look at your hair. And I would immediately say, well, I had a busy day. And I would go up in that energy. So when they say that, just, you know, like when you're triggered, stay outside it and not go into it. Not trying to defend yourself, not trying to. Just stay outside it. And then choose a response. You can say, I know it was a busy day, but just get out of a certain conflictive energy. You know, you go out to fight or to have conflict or discussion, you have to be two. So if one stepping out of that and choosing like a powerful but kind response, I think setting those intentions for the day. What I also do is at the end of the day, if I would see that I got heavily triggered in a situation, I would write some things down, like what happened. Look, it's all about self-awareness. When we become self-aware, when I feel I get triggered more often, then I know that probably I'm getting tired. I'm getting beyond my own, you could say, boundaries of I'm working too hard, I'm doing too much. Then I know it's time for a pause, maybe just take a hot bath, read a book for 30 minutes, you know, like just take care of myself. So it's in that self-awareness that you can be, because I think the kindness starts with the self-kindness. You can impossibly be genuinely kind to someone when you haven't been the same way to yourself. If you don't have that kindness, that mildness, that gentleness, that we are human and doing the best every day.
Yeah, absolutely. I just loved it, what you said. But again, coming to my other question, because as sometimes we are in the environment, like, you know, kind of a toxic environment when people are trying to actually bully you. So I understand that there's like, we cannot be kind. I mean, we can be kind, but we have to take a stand. So what do you suggest that how you we handle that kind of situation?
Let's say you're in a very toxic, whether it's a relationship, whether it's a work environment, then first of all, you have to reflect on the situation for yourself. Is that happening only once, or has it been for months and years? So if it's only once, if there's a toxic moment, toxic environment, then it's very important to set your boundaries, to show no, I will not do this. Even you can say that with a smile, like, I'm sorry, this is not part of. And if people start yelling, then you can say, let's have a constructive conversation about this. How can we get out of this situation? But just ask. You could say mature adults, not that you have to say as mature adults, but just take the conversation to a different level out of the emotion. You know, okay, that's your opinion. How can we get, you know? But if you're really in an environment where day in, day out, people treat you disrespectfully, you feel it's like the working culture, or if you are in a personal relationship with a wife or a husband who is so, you could say, wounded or hurt or insecure that that person treats other people in that way, I think it's better for you to look for a different environment, because we cannot stay in our light if we are surrounded day in, day out with negativity. It's impossible because you have no more energy to fill your own batteries. You need people who support you. You need people who want to be around you. You need people who cheer for you, who applaud you. Every human being needs that from childhood on. If you see that it's not, choose different kind of friends. Choose a community, a tribe. We live in an era where there's so much possibility. We all have access to our phones. Choose a community where you feel people are like, they want to move on in life. They want to, they are positive. They are love-based. Because, 100 years ago or 200 years ago, if you lived in a small-minded village and everybody was gossiping and mean, you had no means to believe that. Now we have our phone. Oh, I also want to add that all my notifications are always muted during, most of the day. I only have my phone and WhatsApp. All the rest is muted. So people around me know that, and a lot of conversations are muted. It's my family. If they really want me, there's an urgency, they have to call me. Because I refuse to be the slave of my phone. It's already such a challenge when you're working, you're at your computer, all the emails, all the messages. At a certain moment, we have to master our lives. Yes. Not the apps. It's not the apps that can master our life. And there's always a lot of drama in conversations and in social media platforms. Take a distance. For me, even in the car, I listen to audiobooks. And when I come home, I put up the radio with some music that I like. Even I have a radio station where there's no one talking. You only have music. So it's really what you put in yourself is what you become.
Absolutely, absolutely. Just loved it. I can listen to you because I actually love your reviews also when you put your videos on that. Sometimes I don't know why my LinkedIn notification shows very late, maybe after a week or so, and then I just forget to actually put a comment on your, but I love your reviews because your wisdom is exceptional. And this is always shows in your posts and in your videos and in all your demeanor. So
I have to say, Amreen, it's because I went through many, many, many hardships. The cancer is only one of them, but it's not the place here to, in the book, I share a lot of that. But I took, every time in life that I was hurt, that I felt like a failure, that I was on my knees, that life put me on my knees, I always thought, what's the lesson here? What is it that I have to learn here? And when I had the courage, to go through the shell of sometimes it was a limiting belief, sometimes it was my ego that was holding me. When I had the courage to move through that, I could always see the blessing afterward in the hardship. And I have cried tears, tears. Aww. I'm 53 now. Mm-hmm. But I think it's because I have lived through all of that, that it's in me. It's not words that I speak just as
it's a part of you.
I lived it. And I was always very dedicated to grow through it, to never give up. Whatever life threw at me, never give up.
Amazing. So I want to talk about your book also, because you recently published it. So first of all, what actually made you write the book? What exactly message you're giving through the book to this world?
It was a deep urge, mm-hmm. because I see what we witness in the world, the wars, the conflicts, the greed, the corruption. It's bringing a way of being, a way of life. You could say the book is more like a life philosophy, that brings you truthful, it brings you to having a fulfilled life, because a happy life can sound shallow. It's a deep fulfillment. It is a connection, like we told before at the interview. It is a connection with the sacredness of life. We must never forget that life is sacred. It is a sacred gift.
Yeah.
The moment we lose sight of that, we don't live truly anymore. If we don't see like a child playing in the water, having fun for no reason, if we look at a rosebud opening up, if we see two older people walking hand in hand, those things that, no, it's not a Ferrari, no, it's not a PhD, no, it's not, no bling bling, no, it's not the Ritz Hotel in Paris, no. But happiness and fulfillment are not there. And that's, you know, like my biggest message. But you can be, you know, I live in a beautiful house and I drive a beautiful car. It's not that you cannot, it's not that you cannot have them, but don't be so attached to that, that it forms your identity. Do it in a detached way. You know, like if you love books, you know, like we have a whole library of books. My husband and I, we love books. But have that balance in your life. That, of course, if you have a passion, it's not about living like a monk or an ascetic person. Yeah. We live in a real world. But it's having that balance, knowing the sacredness of life, knowing where the true, because I've been there. I faced that. They told me you're going to die. And in that moment, you're like, whoa, then you get that flash, what's really important.
Yeah.
And don't, you know, like read the book. And because I do not want you to be 90 years old and say, oh, my God, if I had known. It's really about stories, not only about my personal stories, but also about courageous people in the past who made choices which were so unnatural for us that it opens your mind. I will share one story which always stayed with me. I read the book, the Book of Joy, that's from the Dalai Lama with Desmond Tutu. And it's about joy. But the Dalai Lama shares a very powerful story. At a certain moment, he gets a visit of a Tibetan monk. That had been imprisoned in China for 25 years, unjust. And the monk visited the Dalai Lama, and the Dalai Lama asks him, what was the hardest thing for you being imprisoned? And he said, I had to be very careful every day. The most dangerous thing was to not lose my compassion for the Chinese.
So
that gives you, that gives you goosebumps. So it's about really going beyond what we have, that natural, you know, like, and I have that same with Martin Luther King Jr. when he said, the oppressor doesn't need our hate. The oppressor needs our love. And that's future for the world. It's in not, it's a very, it feels unnatural. It feels unnatural, but it is the only way forward to see that the one who oppresses you is an unhappy, fearful person.
Yeah.
And in leading by example, in a firm way, it's not about, not like let yourself slaughter and be a doormat, but really be firm in the loving choices that you make. And for me, is if enough individuals on this planet say, it's enough. We had enough from conquering and fighting for oil, fighting for, you know, like other resources. We are destroying our planet and destroying each other. And sometimes we say it's brave. No.
Yeah. Absolutely, it's not.
It's not
true.
So that's mainly, it's the power, it's really, it's the power of kindness, the power of love, and really inviting people to become those role models. And it's like a guideline. It shares stories, and it shares questions for you mostly, because I do not like, you know, like to give people advice. I like for people to question. And in questioning, that they find the answer in themselves.
Yeah.
I don't want to give answers. I can give examples. I can share stories. And then I can ask what's happening in your life. Now, like at the end of every chapter, I have those questions that people can start investigate. Like, what is it that I can change in my life? Yeah. Who am I resenting? Is there somebody that I do not want to forgive someone for some reason?
Yeah.
It's the first step. Can I go into forgiveness? Not to condone the action of the other people, but to free yourself. Yeah. To free yourself from resentment.
Yeah. It's
not about the other person. Mm. And once you see that, the reward in the virtue, the reward in the kindness. And the second part of the book is showing to people how kindness-based choices can save our planet. It's it says, let's choose collaboration over competition. Let's choose reverence for life over domination. No, it's really, the book is one big, but also an invitation, like for people to reflect, like, what are we doing? Are we pressuring our kids to have only A's, and are they only valuable in our eyes because they have high grades, because they have to cover our insecurity? Is that how we will perpetuate that circle? Or are we going to take another path and say, our kid is worthy? And of course, if you see your kid is lazy, you can approach it in a way, but not in a way to make it feel unworthy, just to have a conversation and see what's going on.
Yeah.
And it's in all those, you know, like those little choices that we make on a daily basis, because I think it starts at home. The most important place, it's in your environment. If you cannot demonstrate it at home, in your work, with your parents, with your friends, don't, you know, like, don't come with great theories, because it's every day. It's in your everyday. And that's the hardest part for me too. For me too.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I love talking to you, and actually, I love listening to you. Your wisdom is like, you know, I always learn so much from you. I know that this is your, and your book is a masterpiece. I think everyone should get a copy of them. I already shared the link in the comments, and especially when I post this publish in the different podcast channel, I'll definitely share the link. It's an amazing book. It shows that kindness can be a solution. It's not like, as you mentioned, that the wars and these kind of like aggression is not the solution. And I think humanity has faced a lot of problems because of this theory that, you know, maybe aggression and the suppression could be the reason. I mean, it's not. I think... And it's enough.
Let me just add, I think there's a big role for women here, because a lot, what we see now is like a domination of male energy. I won't say it's man. I won't say, you know, like, I love man. I love my husband. I work a lot with man. But it's about that. And I think women, and especially mature women, have a big role to play. I think as mothers, as grandmothers, we have a sort kind of wisdom within us that we can bring that strength and yet the compassion into the world.
Yeah.
And I really, really would, you know, like every woman listening, say, you know, like, feel that power and use it. Use your voice. Use that voice of compassion. And I know there are men too. There are men too who think they have to behave all tough and, you know, like, but have that compassion in them, but hide it, you know? No, don't hide that. Use your voice for compassion and kindness.
Yeah. I completely agree, especially the role of women is so important in this entire system because,
absolutely.
I mean, because we are the foundation in the house and in the society. And we just need to realize our strength and not focusing on something else. This is, I mean, seriously, a lot of women just go in a different direction. And I feel bad for them.
Yes. And I think it's that is mostly what the world goes through now. It's the imbalance. So you have the yin and the yang, the male and the female energy. Yeah. It has to become in balance again. Yes. It's completely out of balance. I have an entire chapter on the book on that, that balance and maturity. It's really that lack of balance that we see that world is heading to self-destruction. And it's now time to get that balance again, to get the female, to get, you know, like that heart, which is that compassion back and that kindness back into every layer in society, in our lives.
Absolutely, we are completely aligned on this, and I definitely love listening to you. But actually, unfortunately, time of our show is like running out. I usually keep it a little short because I know that everyone is very busy and they don't like to stick around for longer. So I just keep it shorter. So, what one advice would you give to our audience today, especially to embrace kindness? In the environment where everyone is unkind around them?
The message that I would give is always remember, you are loved, you are worthy, you are beautiful. So when people would at a profound level really realize how loved we are, and in that sacred space reside for a moment, they would show up in a very different way in the world because they would have that confidence, that calmness, that all is well, and that we have everything within us to go through the day to succeed and to do it with kindness.
I mean, wonderful. I completely, I mean, I feel so calm talking, like just listening to you. Seriously, this is a great message that, you know, when you feel worthy, you would never demean other, you will never actually point others, it's you will always treat others with kindness. So excellent message.
And I think that every great wisdom teacher had that, you could say, that energy, that what was what they were radiating. That it was that pure love and kindness for everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. And that you can just feel them even when you are, when they are around you. So that is something that they're, when they radiate. So anyways, thank you so much for sharing such great wisdom and enlightening our audience today. And what is the best way anyone can reach out to you?
I think through LinkedIn, a message. Okay. If you want to reach out, you can connect with me on LinkedIn. I think that's the easiest way.
Okay, that's great. And I've already posted your links over there. So thank you so much for joining. It was an honor, and I will... I recommend everyone who's listening to our show, please check out her book. It's amazing. It's a game changing. It's a masterpiece. So please do check out her book. Link is in the comment. And thank you for tuning in. And thank you for listening, whoever is joining in from across the globe. So thank you so much. And bye-bye.
Yes, bye.